start your engines!
Bring them up, gang. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Now that most of the driver's seats are filled, it's time for the crew chief shuffle. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters. With me this week, Jeff Hammond from PRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, and Davey Siegel from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network, presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show, Davey and Jeff. Happy holidays to you guys. Hope you're having a good holiday season. Glad to have you guys here as well. Well, we talked about the crew chief shuffle and what better guys to have here. And Jeff Hammond, former crew chief, to talk about that. Davey, glad to have you here as well. Let's start talking about RCR has announced a little crew chief shuffle. We've got Andy Street, who has been the crew chief for Austin Hill in the Xfinity Series. Mm-hmm. That had been announced he was going to the front office. Well, now not only is he going to be working in the front office, but he is also going to be the crew chief for a third RCR car, which is going to run a part-time schedule. He's also going to be crew chief for part-time effort in the Xfinity Series. Meanwhile, Chad Haney's going to become the crew chief for Austin Hill. Danny Stockland and keep working for Jesse Love. What do you think about those changes, Jeff?
Well, I think I understand part of them. And at the same time, I think the combination of Stockman and Love, I think, need to stay together. Those guys had a good run this year. I think the chemistry is great for them. It's hard to say about the chemistry for other ones because, again, we haven't seen, you know, them in their roles that they're going to be, you know, holding on to. I know Andy Street is as solid as the day is long, and he has a lot of great managerial skills. That's the reason why I think they want him in the front office. But he's still too good to keep him in the front office. But so we'll – the rest of it will have to kind of play out in front of your eyes.
Yeah, what they're going to do with Davey with the Street is they're going to not only have him be a part-time crew chief still, but he's going to provide competition direction and assistance to NASCAR, to RCR's alliance partners and the Xfinity Series engineering manager. So this guy's going to have his plate full next year.
Definitely. He's going to be busy. That's not going to be anything to worry about for sure. I was a little bit surprised, though, guys, that they split up Andy and Austin just because they've had a lot of success together, not just this past year, but for multiple years. But when you think about it from kind of a 30,000-foot perspective, I could kind of understand why. You obviously want to put your people in the best position to make the company the best it can be. Now, you don't want to sacrifice how the individual teams and drivers perform, but similar to what we're seeing with Chris Gabehart, kind of restructuring, going from a crew chief with Denny Hamlin to the competition director, a void that has now been filled by one of the smartest minds in the garage. Everybody inside those walls and outside has kind of said and admitted that move is going to make Joe Gibbs Racing as a whole better. And I think this move on the Xfinity Series side and the Cup Series with Andy Street, probably in the long term and the short term, it's going to make Richard Childress Racing better. Austin Hill is going to need to get used to working with a new crew chief, which he has before. I'm sure he'll do it again. But from a 30,000-foot perspective, guys, I think this move kind of makes the team better overall.
Well, when you look at it, and I know one of the things they said for Andy Street is it gets him exposed to the next-gen car. Or I think we call it the next-gen, but Gen 7 car now.
Right.
It gets him some exposure to that. But they've also, you know, since Andy Petrie left, they talked about needing to restructure their competition area, restructure their front office.
Well, I think, you know, the success that he has had with Austin, as far as the Cup Series is concerned, is a proven entity. And I think he shows that he's got the intelligence, the ability to put together, you know, good race cars underneath everybody. So if he can do that, you know, and do a good job at it, that's the reason why he needs to be in a competition role and making sure that everybody understands this is the direction we want to go in. And without knowing all the inner workings of what's going on at RCR, I mean, let's face it, the first three quarters of the season, they sucked. I mean, they really were out to lunch, and then all of a sudden they found a spark, and I hate, you know, saying it about, you know, when Andy left, it took on a whole different look and attitude, and they got more competitive as the year went along. I thought Kyle Busch was going to wind up getting him a win for the end of the year. Unfortunately for Austin, you know, he wound up, you know, going a little bit over the line as far as getting his win for the season and putting himself in the playoffs. So there was a fire that was lit somewhere. And undoubtedly, where it came from, it had to be the Andy Street scenario. And if Richard feels like, I need this guy to be able to have a little bit of say across everybody's stuff and not just his own car.
I think as you look at it, Davey, RCR certainly, as Jeff pointed, was a team that struggled for most of last year. During the Olympic break, they seemed to find something, tailed off again towards the end of the year. But it's an organization that has really, you know, struggled for the last year and a half.
Definitely. And they've made no bones about it. I mean, they said as much during the year that this is not going how they wanted to. They're going to make changes, and we are seeing some of those changes come online here. I mean, they've gone to other organizations to get some new, fresh perspectives into the organization. They're bringing in Randall Burnett as the new crew chief for Austin Dillon, coming from Stuart Haas Racing. Now, you might argue, well, Stuart Haas Racing closed. He had nowhere else to go. But obviously, I said Randall Burnett. I meant Richard Boswell. Burnett's staying with the 8. Boswell's going to the 3. Got those RBs confused. So my point is, there's clearly kind of a shift and a change happening in the mindset in Welcome North Carolina, because I feel like for a lot of time, at least in the recent history, RC and everybody there, they have done things their way, and that's kind of promoting from within, taking people that are on that campus that know the culture, that know the ins and the outs, and they move them up or move them around how they see fit. Going from outside of that pool may be something that's a little bit uncomfortable. It may be something different, but I think different and uncomfortable is necessary to become better and to become a more formidable force in the Cup Series, because let's face it, they haven't been for the last handful of years. And I know the first year of this Gen 7 car, Tyler Reddick won a handful of races. Kyle Busch won 3 last year. But besides that 2-week right after the Olympic break, to your point, Hammond, they were really non-factors and nowhere to be seen. And Kyle Busch is a Hall of Fame race car driver, first ballot Hall of Fame race car driver. The fact that his winning streak broke this season, I don't think it was an indictment on him as a driver. I think it was equipment-based more than anything else.
Well, you mentioned Welcome North Carolina, and I know that Chris Rice of Colleague Racing, Jeff, has talked a lot about the one Welcome is what they're selling now, because they're up on that Welcome campus as well. They also have made some changes at Colleague Racing. Mike Cook, who is coming over from Stuart Haas Racing, he's going to be the team technical director for Colleague. They're bringing in an Australian, Andrew Dixon, who's going to be the crew chief for the number 10 car, which Ty Dillon's going to be driving. And then Trent Owens is going to reunite with A.J. Allmendinger in the Cup Series to be his full-time crew chief next year.
The way I look at it, and hopefully, you know, Mr. Siegel agree with me, is that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But when you got what you got right now, it needs to be totally overhauled. I mean, we need to have a breath of fresh air, a lot of new ideas. We need people coming in and telling us, well, that ain't the way we did it, because whatever you're doing is not producing the results that you need on a regular basis. And that's exactly what Richard Childress is looking for. I can go a couple of races not being competitive, but I can't go 3 and 4 races and think that I'm going to wind up getting myself in the playoffs and or win races if we can't be in the hunt, be in the top 10. I'm talking about every week when they drop the green flag.
Yeah, Davey, the example I always like to share in situations like this, we're bringing in new blood, is what happened at Roush Fenway when Keselowski comes on board. You know, Jack Roush always prided himself in bringing in, you know, advancing from within, promoting from within. And you'd hear drivers would go, you know, we need some new brother in here, because at some point the same old ideas quit working. And when Brad came in and brought in some fresh blood, you see how things began to turn around. And I think that's maybe what we're seeing here in Welcome.
I think that's 100% right. And, you know, it's not going to take a year or two. It might take 3 or 4 or maybe even 5. But the fact of the matter is that the ball's now rolling. And that's the important part, because to your point with what's now RFK, what was Roush and turned into Roush Fenway, that process was pretty long as well. But it's now been a really rewarding one, because you see how well the team is performing on track. You see the strategy on just how that team approaches a lot of things. I think about it from a social media perspective in this day and age that we're in, where there's a lot of news and information and sponsorship and B2B opportunities that come about on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, what have you. And the social media team at RFK are really breaking barriers and doing things differently than any other previous regime would have done under the tutelage of the Cat in the Hat. So I think that's a lot thanks to fresh perspectives, new blood. You can thank Brad Keselowski for that. And a lot of things that Brad does turn into really, really good things. I mean, you just look at the talent that he was able to look at and pick out when he was running his Truck Series team, BKR, just to name a few. Xfinity champ Daniel Hamrick, Austin Cindric, Xfinity champion, Daytona 500 winner. Ryan Blaney, a Cup Series champion. Ty Majeski, a Truck Series champion. Tyler Reddick, regular season champion, championship four appearance this year. Those were all drivers, just to name a few, that Brad Keselowski saw and picked out because he saw something in them way before they were doing any of these things. So Brad Keselowski, it seems like he has an eye for talent, and he has an eye to the future, too.
When we come back, a up-and-coming star collects the trophy, the Snowball Derby. We'll talk about that. Stay with us.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up on your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead.
Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
Brett McMillan returns with his guests in just a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
Speedway Children's Charities raises money through several different avenues. My favorite is the gala.
It's one of those can't-miss events for everybody who attends. And I've been able to raise and distribute over $60 million.
When you have 50 different organizations receiving grants from Speedway Children's Charities, that's far-reaching. And some people think, well, I don't have much money to give. I say, $50 is a lot to give.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Check out all of our show pages on GoPRN.com to find archived shows and more. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back. Calling with Davey Siegel from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and also Jeff Hammond from PRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. Caden Honeycutt, a name that we're starting to hear a lot of, Davey, 21 years old, won the Snowball Derby, held off Steven Nassi, and a guy we've heard a little bit about, Ty Majeski. Kind of impressive, huh?
I'd say very impressive, yes. And just reading up on Caden Honeycutt, specifically on the late model side of things, how this deal came together was really unique. The circumstances behind the win were really unique. And obviously, there's no bigger super late model race than the Snowball Derby, the 57th running of it this season. And he's taking a step up next year as well. He's going to be running full-time in the Craftsman Truck Series for Nice Motorsports after he did some partial starts this year. So this is going to be a driver that I think is going to surprise some people this year. You know, maybe if you're not expecting too much out of him, given the equipment, or you maybe just haven't heard from him too much. Clearly the kid can drive and the kid knows what he's doing behind the wheel of a race car. Anytime you compete or even just make the field at the Snowball Derby, you're doing something right. To win and to beat drivers like Steven Nassi, Ty Majeski, and all the other really, really good short trackers that were taking place down there in Pensacola, that is a big, big accomplishment. And I think we're going to see more from him, not just this season in the Truck Series, but probably for years to come. He's got the goods.
He's the guy that's impressed you, Jeff.
He has impressed me. I've had the privilege of racing the Craftsman Truck Series last season and got a chance to see him drive a lot in the Truck Series as well as in the ARCA Series. And he definitely can get the job done. I look for him to be, and just tell you ahead of time, Davey, don't count him out for winning a race this year in the Truck Series. He's got good equipment, got good people around him, and the talent that he brings to the table, I think will impress a lot of folks. And you're exactly right when you kind of say the guys he beat at the Snowball Derby, like Majeski and Bubba Pollard, for example. I mean, these are people who are cut their teeth on that racetrack down there and got experience at this racetrack. And he was able to handle him and handle him at the close as much as anything. But he was in the hunt all day long. And in the end right there, he got up on the wheel and was able to bring it home. But he's going to be a fun racer for many years to come. And don't be surprised if we don't see him back down at the Snowball Derby again at the end of next year.
Well, you know, Ty Majeski was the defending champion, Davey. We're beginning to see more and more guys go down there, win the Snowball Derby, and then get on the NASCAR radar.
Yeah, we are. And I mean, even Bubba Pollard, who was down there this year and his track record speaks for itself. He's run some more Xfinity races, did so with Junior Motorsports this year, did so with Sam Hunt Racing. And I talked to him earlier in the year and he would like to do more. I think something refreshing about Bubba, just as kind of a little sidebar, you know, we hear a lot of drivers on the short track late model level that want to get to NASCAR. Brendan Butterbean Queen on the late model stock side of things. He's a good example. He's going to be running a full ARCA Menard Series schedule this year. But Bubba basically said, look, I would love to do that. I'd love to run more NASCAR. I'm not ready for a full year. I need a lot more track time. I need a lot more seat time. Maybe one day, if all the cards are there and the stars align, I'd love to make it happen. But I'm not necessarily ready for a full-time NASCAR career right now. And I think there's a lot of drivers that you saw at the Snowball Derby that fans would love if they got a chance. Could you imagine the fan reception if Steven Nassi got a shot in a competitive truck or Xfinity car? I mean, that would be really, really cool to see. I think Ty Majeski obviously doing what he did this past season in the Truck Series, and we know what he's capable of in a super late model. He is so successful all over the country, whether it's the Midwest where he's cut his teeth, the Southwest or Southeast, I should say, obviously, in Pensacola, even out there on the West Coast. I know Derek Thorne, he's won multiple what was K&N West championships, but he's really capable too. So there's so much talent dispersed throughout the country in multiple different levels and series and different types of vehicles. And Ty Majeski is kind of a shining, guiding light for that. Caden Honeycutt might be the next one. But I think the point is that there's much more to meet the eye than what you see on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays on the NASCAR side of things. You just got to look a little bit harder. And even nowadays with Flow and Dirt Vision and how easy it is to kind of consume these things, you actually don't have to look too much harder, really. You just got to find them at the right place. And I think the time is ripe right now for a lot of people that are racing on the grassroots level to make a name for themselves there if they want to, because getting to NASCAR on the top levels is really, really difficult, as we know.
You know, Jeff, Bubba Pollard, Davey's talking about, said, I'm not ready to run a full schedule. You're a guy that obviously spent your life in this sport. Mm-hmm. And as a crew chief, you know, team manager, you've got that eye. You could look at a guy, and you're talking about Caden Honeycutt here. You see he's got that it factor. What is it you see in a guy? What is it? Is it car control? Or what is it you see in a guy? Is there something you could put your finger on and say, that's it?
Well, it has to be a that's it moment when you watch a guy race. And it takes, you know, several races to convince you that that is the case. I mean, there are a lot of times you see that hit these drivers on basically one-hit wonders. And not to say that Bubba Pollard is a one-hit wonder by any stretch of imagination, but when you hear him say, I'm not ready, if he doesn't believe in himself, how is anybody else really going to believe in him? So take the man for his word. And you got to also realize he's not a guy that races for a living. He's got another profession he tries to make a living out of. So there needs to be that come to that moment of, yes, I want to do it, and I'm willing to sacrifice everything to go do it. Because most really good drivers requires a personal sacrifice to really get to the a level and get into that level you want to be at, no matter what it is. But you mentioned earlier in the conversation about, you know, the Snowball Derby and how people are wanting to migrate there. I hate to tell you this. They've been migrating down there for a long time. When you look on that trophy and realize that, you know, Donnie Allison and Darrell Waltrip, and go down the list of the greats here, even Rich Bickles, five-time winner, Jeff Purvis. There's a lot of race car drivers that have come through and won the Snowball Derby that have made a pretty good living driving cup cars or even Xfinity cars. after winning at the Snowball Derby. And it's one of those things where it's like going to Daytona. You want to win, you want to win the Daytona 500, or you want to win the 400, but you want to win at Daytona. That's why the Five Flags deal is, especially when it's got Snowball Derby attached to it. I mean, they race there a lot besides then, but Snowflake as well as the Snowball Derby are two that really are feathers in your cap and get people to turn their attention to you.
When we come back, the West Coast Stock Car Hall of Fame has announced its 2025 class, and there are a lot of familiar names on this one. We'll talk about those guys when we come back.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now.
800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
Want to hear one of our past shows? Visit GoPRN.com. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
We saw a lot of chaos in the closing laps of the race. So just trying to minimize that, make it more about a race than people just using each other up.
I think it's needed. It was needed at all the road courses.
While I don't think it's going to be a home run, I think that it'll be in the right direction.
So many opportunities to either be really good or make mistakes, and they can start adding up on you quick.
For the latest NASCAR news without a restrictor plate, it's PRN's Garage Pass. For the station near you, check us out at GoPRN.com.
Hi, this is PRN's David Stiles. Join me each week when I head over to JC's Garage to talk NASCAR.
As of right now, if I were to name my top five, I could tell you Chase Elliott wouldn't be in that top five with this next-gen car. He has a lot to prove on the road courses with this next-gen car, but I still don't think there's a real out front leader. I think Tyler Reddick has been outstanding.
That's JC's Garage, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Check us out on YouTube at GoPRN Live. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Jeff Hammond from PRN Sirius XM NASCAR Radio and Davey Siegel from Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Hey, Jeff, they've announced the 2025 class for the West Coast Stock Car Motorsports Hall of Fame. And I think we know one or two of these guys.
You think?
You think? A.J. Allmendinger, Justin Marks, Rick Ware, Boris Said. That is a pretty impressive lineup.
It very much so is. I mean, there's so many talented race car drivers that come out of California. You know, it's kind of scary, but I'm really excited that AJ, as well as Rick Ware and Boris in particular, that are getting an opportunity to go out there and represent that state and for their accomplishments, not only here in the United States, but, you know, there's some international flavors thrown in there.
Davey, what are your thoughts?
Definitely agree. I mean, it's cool to see, too, the past, the present, and maybe even the future being represented out there. And Ken Clapp and everybody out there does a great, great job in kind of making sure that the West Coast's history with stock car racing, which is really rich, that admittedly I wasn't fully aware of up until I started covering the sport, is remembered and treasured and celebrated more than anything else. And guys like Boris Said, who maybe didn't have a ton of staying power or success in the Cup Series on a full-time basis, his presence was definitely known. I mean, I remember growing up watching the Said Heads out at Sonoma and Watkins Glen. That was so fun and cool to see AJ Allmendinger, obviously, back in the Cup Series this coming year and a winner multiple times in the series. Justin Marks breaking barriers and doing things his way with Trackhouse. I mean, I don't know how many racing series Rick Ware competes in, whether it's on two wheels, four wheels. If there was a hover car division or a boating division, which I'm sure there is, he'd probably be in there too. So the fact that he's getting that recognition as well and kind of making that program on the Cup Series side better after it was, quite frankly, a laughingstock for a handful of years, really, really proud and happy for them. So good, good class, and I'm glad that everybody's getting their just due.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, you and I were talking during the break, Jeff. It's a shame that we don't have more trips out. I mean, we go to Vegas twice now. You go to Phoenix twice. We only have one stop in California now, and that's at Sonoma, waiting to find out what's going to happen at Fontana. Because right now there's construction maybe going on. I don't even know if there's construction going on.
Show me. I want to see it.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, you've lost some great tracks out there. You know, you had Ontario out there that went the way of a shopping mall. You had Riverside, which I think went the way of a shopping mall. And some of the great small tracks, you know, land has become so valuable that they get lost out there. It's just a real shame that you don't have more, I say more grassroots racing coming up and more tracks that have been able to produce more drivers in the last few years.
Well, I'm just going to tell you from my perspective. Again, nobody's told me that this is exactly the way it is, but I am going to tell you why I believe this is where rules and regulations can really, you know, hurt a sport like automobile racing, whether it's, you know, road course, if it was a street course, don't matter where it is or what it is. But there's a lot of people who do not like, you know, gasoline engines, and they don't want the EPA, you know, they really worry about that and the greenhouse effect and everything goes along with it. And California is a very, very strictly regulated state. And it makes it hard for an industry like ours, I think, to get support and give themselves an opportunity to grow because they can hardly get off the ground or keep the doors open because of rules and regulations. And that's I hate it for them because, you know, we've had a lot of good races out there from the tracks you've described and the one that's still here up in Sears Point. I mean, they've been able to, you know, get along there with everything in the countryside in Northern California. So, you know, I hate it for them because there are a lot of talented racers out there, but they're not getting their fair chance anymore.
You know, Davey, I had a chance to see the old Mesa Marin cover race there once before they closed it down. And that's where Kevin Harvick grew up driving. And it's unfortunate. You know, it was built on the outskirts of town, but then development grew up all around the track. And then people start complaining about the noise from the track. It's like people that move in next to the airport and then complain about the planes flying overhead all the time. It's like, didn't you see this when you moved in here? Did you not notice the planes flying overhead? But then they start complaining about it. And that's what happened. They had to close it down. I know they have since built a new Mesa Marin, but it's a shame because you start to lose these facilities because of that. And, you know, I mean, you're glad to see these guys come out. And, you know, I mean, you talk about the legacy of the guys that have come out of the West and, you know, Jimmy Johnson. And then, you know, you go down the list from there, including these guys. A lot of great legacy coming out of the West Coast.
No question. And even that just example you used there, Brett, about moving in next to the airport. I mean, National Fairgrounds Speedway is running into a lot of those similar issues now, trying to deal with the county there and the board and whatnot. But to your point, I mean, one track that we haven't mentioned in this conversation, which has had 9 or maybe 90 lives, is Irwindale. But it seems like that track is finally kind of coming to its demise and an end, going to have its final race later this month in December. And that's really unfortunate because Irwindale has been a staple of the Southern California short track racing scene for decades and decades. And unfortunately, it's not going to be anymore after this year because, to your guys's points, it's just really, really valuable land out there. And when you have tens of millions of hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe even some cases into the billions, I know that's a big number, you would be a fool to not entertain it at least. And, you know, Irwindale obviously has succumbed to that. Mesa Marin obviously succumbed to that before as well. And Fontana, regardless of what happens in the future there, if it does become a short track, if the whole plot of land gets redeveloped, we don't know. But Jeff, you made a great point. I mean, in California, it seems to be just so much more difficult to get things done, get things passed. There's a lot of red tape, the way that I understand it. And I am not a politician and I'm not a man who has a lot of money to be able to build and finance racetracks. But I can also understand that these things are not easily done. You know, it's one thing to build a street course in downtown Chicago. It's another thing to potentially lease the Long Beach Grand Prix, which has come under new ownership with the captain, Roger Penske. I know that San Diego has been bantied about as well as a venue for a potential future street race. Bottom line is, California is a place that NASCAR needs to be. It's a place that NASCAR will be. And more specifically, Southern California, whether that's LA, San Diego, Long Beach, et cetera, I think it's a place that NASCAR currently is looking to get back into. I wish that it was at Fontana, but I know that's easier said than done. I hope that one day we can make it happen.
Absolutely. When we come back, NASCAR head Steve Phelps says they could be making some changes to the Xfinity series to maybe get it closer to the Gen 7 car. Stay with us.
For NASCAR fans just tuning in, I'm Kyle Petty here with Echo Park, the official used car of Speedway Motorsports. This season will be the most exciting one yet with the introduction of Echo Park's Coffee Cup Series, a pre-race event where race fans can grab coffee, ask me questions, and check out the great cars of Echo Park. And this just in, fans will be entered for the chance to win a VIP ticket upgrade and ride in the pace car. Echo Park, every car, happy owner.
Hi, this is PRN's Brett McMillan. You know, you don't spend your life just sitting around, so what you need is PRN's mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. If you download it today, you get station listening and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Download today. Available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
We've got more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries to hold on the outside.
Truex on the inside, Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge and a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
Follow at PRN Live on Twitter for show news and information. Now more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back, along with Davey Siegel from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and Jeff Hammond from PRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Steve Phelps, NASCAR president. Davey said that there could be some changes coming to the Xfinity series, which could be Gen 7 type changes. A lot of people are kind of going, wait a minute. I love what I'm seeing from the Xfinity series. What are you thinking on this?
Count me as one of those people that's saying, wait a minute. I love what I'm seeing from the Xfinity series. But I think, you know, how I understand it, these changes that will potentially come down the line are that potential. And they wouldn't happen for a handful or even several years. And if and when they did, I don't believe that it would essentially make the Xfinity series another, you know, single vendor, single source supplied part type of platform. But I do think that there's something to be said for continuing to innovate, continuing to modernize, continuing to have the technology advancements that are coming online in the real world with your passenger cars, and having those, the manufacturers that we currently have with Toyota, Ford, and Chevrolet, having them implement those in different series. It doesn't just have to be on a truck. It doesn't just have to be in the Cup Series on a Gen 7 car. If you want to try some of that new technology and these new modern things that are coming about on an Xfinity car, I'm cool with that. But I would hope and ask and plead that they don't necessarily get rid of what has made the Xfinity Series so compelling and really have its own identity, and that is the platform of the race car. Whether you talk about the underneath of it, whether you talk about the composite body, whether you talk about the tire construction,
the product that the NASCAR Xfinity Series has right now, and I've said this for a handful of years, and I believe it to be true, I watch all the racing that I can get, especially all the NASCAR racing that I can get. I think Xfinity is the best that we got right now. And that's no disrespect to the truckers or the Cup Series field, but I think both those series would tell you that they like watching and competing in Xfinity the most. And that's a mix of because the car allows the driver to make a difference, and the competition on the track due to the vehicle that everybody has underneath them is so fun to drive. So I would hope and plead and ask kindly that they don't mess with the platform too much, but I do not mind innovation and technological advancements. I don't mind that. I would just hope that it's a little bit slow.
Jeff, your thoughts on it?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I'm feeling like, you know, like what he's saying right now, what Davey's saying, they put on a good show and they've got a really strong field. That, you know, we see a variety of drivers. It's not a lot of dominance to the point that it's nauseating by any stretch of imagination. You have people that, you know, can come out of the back 20 and challenge for a win at different racetracks. To me, I think it shows a sign of being a strong series. It doesn't need a lot of critiquing. And it's already got the carbon fiber bodies and some of the technology that they're implementing as far as keeping everybody on a level playing ground without starting to change a lot of stuff underneath it or coming up with independent suspension to underneath the chassis. No, just let's race. Don't engineer. Let's race.
Could it be some things that they're talking about? And I think you alluded to some of this, Davey. Could it be things that they're looking to implement, which could be technological advances without that wouldn't necessarily affect the racing, and also some things you look at which could be cost savings to these teams?
It could be. And, you know, I don't think that we are privy to that information. I don't know if we will be. I'm sure that if and when that time comes that, you know, the necessary people will be made aware and the general public will find out. I always kind of try to pick the ear of Tommy Joe Martins, an Xfinity Series team owner, who he would tell you their team is not an A-level team right now. They're a mid-pack team that has higher aspirations in Alpha Prime Racing. He's always very open, very honest about the health of the series, the competition of the series, the financial stability of he as an owner in the series. And he's always said that the Xfinity Series is the best that NASCAR's got right now. But as a team owner, it still is very difficult to thrive and just survive in the current economic climate and the current way that sponsorship and pay-to-play drivers are coming into the sport at a really high rate. So I pick his brain with a lot of these things, and I've seen some of the things that he said here and there about the potential timeline of some of these changes and knowing what they might be, knowing what they might not be. I think to your point, Brett, you know, I think maybe like a little bit of experimenting is okay. You know, whether that's on the technological side, whether that's on the competitive side, that's cool with me. But to Jeff's point, Xfinity is really good right now. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm all for that. I'm also all for trying to make things better, even if you think that what you have right now is pretty good. And I think that Steve Phelps's comments may have been taken out of context a little bit. Again, that's how I'm understanding it. But for all I know, I could be dead wrong. I just hope that they see what they have right now is good, albeit maybe a little outdated. I would hope that they say, look, we know that this is a little bit outdated, but it's good. And what we got right now, we're going to keep that while implementing some new things to make everybody around us, owners, manufacturers, a little bit more happy. And to your point, Brett, financially a little bit more healthy too.
The only thing I get worried about is when you made the comment, we're going to do something for cost savings. I will quickly point out that more times than not, when that line is delivered, the price of poker goes up. It don't go down. And I think that's something we need to be conscientious of. To his point, you know, there's a lot of teams out there like Tommy Joe Martin's that, you know, they race week to week based off of money that's brought in. They race competitively when they have money to be able to put new tires on each and every stop. And when they don't, they put used tires on, and that usually shows a drop in their performance level. So they pick and choose where they want to race based off of funding as well as driver capabilities. Daytona, Talladega, places like that where the playing field is extremely level. And it shows. But I think we got to be careful. I mean, I think Dave and I both are beating this drum pretty loud right now. Is please, whatever you do, talk about it, but don't change it until you know, we got a little bit of opportunity to say, yeah, I agree with you, or, you know, I would like to challenge that. Don't send a rule out saying this is what we're going to do, and then all of a sudden realize maybe it wasn't a good rule.
Well, sometimes, you know, a lot of times they say they talk to the teams, but I'm wondering if they're talking to the teams at the top or if they talk to the teams all through the field.
Well, you should talk through all the field because, again, what you're doing doesn't affect the top. They got enough funding to be able to keep up with what's going on. But when you start going down to the lower part of the field, like a Tommy Joe Martin, that could easily eliminate them if the price of poker gets any higher. You know, that's the whole thing is, if this here does not work successfully, what would the outcome be? I'd be gone. That does not mean a stronger series. You want a full field. You want people that can be competitive. So it's like, let's be careful. It's been a really good 2024. We just need to make it a little bit better in 2025, and we'll be, once again, we'll have a lot of viewership. We'll have people come to the racetracks, and we'll have some people that we had not really expected to run well, run better.
When we come back, one more look back on the year that was 2024. Stay with us.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
More of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmie Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmie Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win seven, no matter how you win seven, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmie Johnson's five in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention, very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. Five in a row? Nobody's done five in a row.
Download our free mobile app to listen to the show and more great PRN content on the go. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
And welcome back, along with Jeff Hammond from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and PRN, and Davey Siegel from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Taking a look back at 2024, just one last time, Jeff. As you look back and, you know, say a couple of years from now, think back to this year, what will be the two or three big stories you'll remember?
Well, number one, Joey Logano coming from where he did to wind up being our champion this season. I mean, he basically was not a powerhouse. It was very impressive. And to add to that same impressive streak is how Team Penske for the last 3 years has been able to find a way to get momentum on their side and win three in a row, you know. And I think that it just, here again, it shows how Team Penske puts their money where their mouth is when it comes to the playoffs and making it into the final race of the year and capping it off. I think that's very impressive. I think we finally saw in the Xfinity Series Justin Allgaier winning his championship and how he did it and how much he was down and out and the excitement at Phoenix in that final race, I think it'll be long remembered. Because when it came time to put up or shut up this year, he put up and he got the job done. It's same way with like Ty Majeski in the Truck Series. I mean, it's all the champions. This year is a great year for champions, I think, and people who were not always on top but were able to rally back when it mattered the most at Phoenix.
What are you going to remember, Davey?
I'll remember a few things. I think going in chronological order, I'm going to remember the month of May for Kyle Larson that saw him try and attempt the double for the first time. So glad he's going to get the chance to try that again this year. And I pray to every God in heaven that we do not have a singular rainstorm that wipes out his opportunity to do the double, because that's what happened this year. But just all the pomp and circumstance and craziness surrounding that month and that attempt from Kyle Larson was so cool to watch and be a part of. I will never forget at North Wilkesboro Speedway watching the helicopter come in, walking around pit road. Then I happen to be on my way back to the media center. A golf cart whizzes by me and Kyle Larson runs right by me. I said, "Well, welcome to North Wilkesboro." He says, "Thanks." Heads into the porta potty. He says, "I haven't peed all day." He went into the porta potty.
That was an update you didn't need, wasn't it?
I didn't need it, but
the quote of 2024, I ain't peed all day.
That's right. I didn't need it, but I was thankful for it, and I'm glad that he did what he needed to do. So I will not forget the month of May. I also won't forget what happened at Richmond with Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Austin Dillon, the subsequent suspensions, fines, penalties, all that stuff, and also the aftermath of what happened at Martinsville with the 27 minutes of waiting. And then Christopher Bell obviously getting penalized, William Byron being put in. I won't forget Talladega with the DVP and all the conversation that led to that, the overarching conversation about officiating. I also think NASCAR got a lot, if not all of those calls for the most part, correct. Just the way that they got there, I think, left a little bit to be desired. And Elton Sawyer, Brad Moran, they have all said that they're going to look at a lot of those things in the offseason. And Jeff, to your point, I'm going to remember that it's an even year, and that was another Joey Logano championship and a third in a row for Team Penske. I want to say it's unbelievable what they keep doing in the postseason when it matters the most, but we should believe it, because this is not the first, not the second, but the third time in as many years that we've seen this happen. So I'm not going to bet against the Penske car to win next year, and I'm definitely not going to bet against Joey Logano to do it again in 2026, because it isn't even here.
One of the things I keep thinking back on is we had an unusually high number of really close finishes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, incredibly close. I mean, every place we went, we had great racing. And then somehow or another, if it was a caution or just circumstances overall, we wound up having people, you know, not just one or two going at it, but sometimes three, four, and five guys going at one, you know, stab at it to a certain degree, or multiple stabs at it. So it seems like the competition is so close. And I think we also, the one thing we don't ever want to overlook is how bad do you want it, guys? Well, we see a lot of heart, a lot of passion, a lot of grit in 2024 because of how some of the races ended up, because you would think, oh, he's going to win this race. No, all of a sudden somebody else pulls it out. Because why? Because they went where nobody else wanted to go. And I mean, I said Justin Allgaier, his pass over there, you know, on the back straightaway or front straightaway at Phoenix. Was incredible. I mean, the hole was there, and he hit it. And, he, I mean, like I say, he was running wide open, kind of like, I'm either going to win this thing or I'm going to crash and burn in the final deal. And he was able to do it. I mean, he willed that car to the front. And when you see that, you're seeing somebody who has spent how many years trying to get there? He finally said, I think I know what I got to do to get it done, and he did it.
Yeah, and overcame an awful lot on that day.
On that day. This it wasn't given to him.
No.
It was not given to him. He never quit. He kept fighting, and when it came time to push and shove, he pushed and shoved at the right time, and then he ran off and hid from him.
Yeah. One thing we haven't talked about today, Davey, and as of today, nothing has been decided. That could change by the end of this week. The lawsuit between 2311, Front Row, and NASCAR, who knows how long this is going to go on and how this affects the fields going towards Daytona next year.
Yeah, I sure don't. If anybody does, let me know. But to your point, I mean, there are charters that are unspoken for currently, given that Stewart-Haas Racing closed, 2311, bought one of those. Front Row Motorsports, bought one of those. 2311 and Front Row, currently suing the sanctioning body. So we don't know what those two charters are going to look like, specifically as it pertains to 2025, given that right now, those two teams that are engaged in this antitrust lawsuit are preparing to go into the season to run as open teams. And both of those teams are adding a new driver and a third full-time team. So there's a lot of moving and a lot of shaking going on. I feel like we're getting an update to an update to a referendum to an addendum, you know, every week or so. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be one. But I listen to a lot of those that are smarter than me that can understand the language and the verbiage of what these updates mean. I think that, you know, we are not going to have an update on this, or a resolution, I should say, to this anytime necessarily soon. I hope that we do, and I hope that it's before we go to the Clash at the Coliseum and we go to Daytona for the 500. I just really don't know if the timeline for this is realistically a few months, 6 months, a year and a half. I don't know, but I do think that all the parties involved in this are not going to budge. And they have all made that abundantly clear. And I think I've been operating this way for a while. I'm kind of strapping in for the long haul because I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know when we're going to get to the place that we ultimately get, which is hopefully a resolution. But it's an interesting case to follow, that's for sure.
Jeff, if you're on one of these teams, how do you put all that aside and just focus on your job at hand?
As long as my check clears the bank, I'm just being honest with you. I mean, you got to go in there and not get caught up in what does not belong to you, and you don't have any kind of say. So as long as you hired on, you sign your contract, and they want you to do X, Y, Z, do your X, Y, Z, and let those people at the upper management level take care of it. Don't make any kind of comments that will come back to haunt you personally. You know, it's just like me saying something here on this radio tonight. You know, I gave my personal opinion. It could come back to haunt me if somebody didn't like what I said. But for these crew members, the best thing you can do is do your job and realize it's nothing against you as long as you execute well within the rules of NASCAR and what your company requires from you. Do your job and let them settle it. I mean, that's what needs to be done.
Yeah. I think, Davey, the simple answer is it's in the hands of the lawyers.
Which could be a good thing or could not be a good thing. I guess time will tell and we'll find out. But to your point, I think that's very well said. And to Jeff's point as well, I mean, the check clearing, that's important. But I also think the owners giving their team, whether that's the drivers, the crew chiefs, the engineers, the marketing department, the PR, it goes for everybody. If the owners have, and all signs indicate that they have, being Bob Jenkins, Jerry Freeze, Denny, Michael, Curtis Polk, if they've given their employees the assurance that they are going to operate, the checks are going to clear, we're going to go to the racetrack, we're still going to compete for wins, I think that gives you a level of comfort and assurance that, okay, even though all this stuff is swirling outside of our bubble here, we're going to still do our jobs, and that's go to work, and that's build fast race cars. And to your point, Jeff, I think that as a competitor is all you can really ask for, just the support that you have from the people that matter to go do your job, do it at a high level.
Well, each week on the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters, we give you a chance to go to goprn.com and vote in our poll. And this week's question is, what do you think the biggest story of 2024 was? And your choices are, Joey Logano wins his third championship, Kyle Busch doesn't win for the first time in 20 years, 2311 and Front Row sue NASCAR, or all of the close finishes. So what do you think the biggest story for 2024 was? Last week we asked you, which team do you think will make the most progress in 2025? And your choices were Spire and Legacy, and this is overwhelming. 94% said they think Spire is going to make more progress than Legacy in 2025. So we'll see how that all plays out. We'll remember that one.
It'd be real easy. You know why?
What is that?
A guy named Rodney.
Yeah. Okay.
Every place he goes, he makes a win. So
we'll write down. Jeff says Rodney. No pressure, Rodney Childers. There you go. Jeff Hammond just put you in.
He just put you in the target. He does not swelter under pressure. I'm telling you right now, the man is.
I'm not sure the guy has a pulse most of the time.
He's got ice water in his veins. I'm telling you, he really does. He's great.
When we come back, white flag left.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Headed to Las Vegas Motor Speedway in March to enjoy great NASCAR racing? Then make your reservations now to stay at the South Point Hotel and Casino. The South Point has great race weekend ticket and room packages. Plus, they have a great variety of dining experiences and a world-class spa. Stay where the racers stay. The South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Visit southpointcasino.com and book your springtime getaway today.
There's more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters still to come. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do, because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from.
Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy.
And hope.
And love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at SpeedwayCharities.org. Get your short track racing fix with PRN's At the Track. Visit GoPRN.com. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
Hey, welcome back. Time now for our White Flag Laps. And first up from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, it's Davey Siegel.
Well, guys, this week Juan Soto signed a 15-year, $765 million contract. And a lot of people have been wringing their hands and shaking their fists at the sky saying, he's not worth that much money. This is ridiculous. I got news for you. You are worth what somebody is willing to pay you. Steve Cohen is willing to pay Juan Soto that much money. Justin Marks was willing to pay Chip Ganassi a boatload of money to buy the organization, to buy the race team. Spire Motorsports is willing to pay Rodney Childers, whatever he's getting paid, to come over to the race team. You may not agree with the facts and figures associated with contracts in professional sports. You may think it's ludicrous. You may think it's unfair. I might agree with all that. But the bottom line is, it's about what somebody is willing to pay the other person for their services. That's professional sports, that's society, and that's the bottom line. I think it kind of applies to NASCAR in a lot of ways. Ticket prices, track dates, television contracts, the whole nine. I know that all the answers to your questions is money, and that was on display this week when I saw the Soto contract and the fallout from it.
$51 million a year. Mm. That's Jeff Hammond money.
Chunk change for Jeff.
Boy, you should have seen the look I just got. Next up.
Where do I sign? Where do I sign? PRN, SiriusXM, I don't care. I'll sign.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
All right, go, Jeff Hammond.
The thing is, folks, you know, we're ending 2024 and everybody's kind of taking that deep breath. And I think a lot of people are already speculating and looking forward into 2025. The good thing about 2025 is we're going to got a really high watermark from 2024 to look at. We talk about the close races. We talk about the champions we have representing us here in 2025. A lot of different faces and a lot of different new places. So what's that tell me? Get on the phone, call your closest and favorite racetrack, get you some tickets, and go see it in person, because if you miss it, well, it may not come back another time. So get ready for 2025, starting with the Daytona 500.
Well, I'm going to say quickly, enjoy the holidays, because before you know it, we're going to be at Bowman Gray Stadium and at Daytona, because 2025 is coming fast, and we're going to have some great finishes like we did in 2024. There were a ton of them, enough to get your juices flowing, to get excited, Man, I'd say I can't wait, but let's get the holidays out of the way first. Davey, Jeff, thanks a lot for being with us. We'll talk to you next week on the Raleigh Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network was presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.